Hello, everyone. Welcome to Minghui Radio, bringing you podcasts of stories relating to the persecution of Falun Gong in China, insights and experiences gained by practitioners during the course of their cultivation, special items of interest, and music composed and performed by DAFA practitioners. In today's podcast, we bring you an experience-sharing article from the 10th China Fahui on Minghui.org entitled Clarifying the Truth While Being Persecuted and Destitute by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China.
China Fahui, Clarifying the Truth While Being Persecuted and Destitute by a Falun Dafa practitioner in China. In 1997, a neighbor of mine suggested several times that I practice Falun Gong with her. I asked her to lend me a copy of John Falun so I could decide whether I wanted to practice or not. She didn't agree because the book was rare and not easily available at that time. A while later, I decided to learn the exercises from her. I felt strong energy while doing the exercises, so I decided to become a practitioner. After a lot of effort, I finally got my own copy of John Falun. The minute I opened it and saw the word cultivation, I was shocked and felt like I had found a long-lost treasure. When I was little, I often saw monks in temples. I wondered how come I couldn't cultivate like they did. When I read John Falun, I understood that I could cultivate too. Master said, quote, "Indeed, that is the case, because no matter where a person might have happened to reincarnate later, he still has that memory. It's like an electric plug. Plug it in, and the electricity flows through it." End quote. Dafa disciples must study the Fa. Fa teaching given at the 2011 Washington, D.C. Metro Fa Conference. The three practitioners from our area, including me, joined a group study, which took place out of town. Gradually, the other two practitioners stopped going because of the long distance. I continued because I felt this Fa is very precious. When more and more people started to practice Falun Dafa in our local area, I offered to be a coordinator. I often had to travel a long way to a big city to help other practitioners buy Falun Dafa books, videos, and other materials. I was busy but happy every day, clarifying the truth wherever I went. On July 20, 1999, less than 2 years after I had started to practice Falun Dafa, the Chinese regime launched the persecution. All media outlets broadcast slander, and practitioners were illegally arrested everywhere. In order to avoid being arrested, many practitioners had to become homeless and destitute overnight. My employer tried to talk me out of practicing Falun Dafa. People monitored me around my home and in places I often went to. My kind neighbors often protected me. My husband, a veteran of the Korean War, feared for my safety and took me to my daughter's home. However, the police followed me there, so I was forced to go south where my parents lived. I couldn't accept that Master and Falun Dafa were being slandered. I often cried while I looked at Master's picture. I began to clarify the truth about the persecution to people during the day and went out at night to post flyers about Falun Dafa. One day, when I was on a bus, a man carrying live chickens boarded the bus. The smell was terrible, and I wanted to get off the bus quickly. Yet I reminded myself, not yet. People on this bus haven't heard the truth. Someone suddenly yelled, "Look, it says Falun Dafa is good," on the electricity pole. The conversation exploded, and everyone began talking about it. I took this opportunity to tell everyone the truth about Falun Dafa. From then on, I often pondered how I could find an opportunity to talk to strangers and get their attention. Some magical experiences happened when I clarified the truth to people. When it rained, often nobody took the bus. One day, the bus driver complained that he had no customers. I consoled him and told him that the bus would be jam-packed soon. Soon after that, it was full of people. I knew that Master had arranged for people to be there so they could listen to me clarify the facts. From then on, whenever there were not many people on the bus, I made a wish that people would come and listen to me. Each time the bus was packed soon thereafter. Even the bus drivers recognized the pattern and were happy when I got onto their buses. One of them once said, "There's a practitioner on my bus." Sometimes I didn't take the bus but stopped by stores to explain the facts about DAFA there. I bought water here and food there, finding an opportunity to talk to the store owners and customers. At night, I went out to post banners with the words, "Fallen DAFA is good." I did this in the cities and rural villages. One time, I got lost in a village and asked Master for help. I then heard a dog barking. I walked toward the barking and found my way back. I thanked Master and said to the dog in my mind, "You can stop now. I've found my way." It stopped barking right away. Because of the persecution, my husband and I moved to a city in the south. He was almost 90 and I was 80. He was often very ill and needed close attention and care. I took very good care of him before I went out to clarify the truth. He was very understanding and often encouraged me. My son hired a maid to care for us. I clarified the truth about the persecution to her and her husband, and they began to practice Fallen DAFA. A little later, my son wanted to fire the maid, but I insisted that she and her husband learn the practice first. They left 1 month later. Before they left, they told me that one of their friends wanted to practice as well, so I prepared some Fallen DAFA materials for their friend. I didn't quite get used to living in the city at first. I wasn't sure if I should be there. One night, Master gave me a hint in my dream that it was exactly where I should be. With Master's help and protection, I clarified the truth everywhere I went: construction sites, bus stations, restaurants, stores, and more. Most people I met were interested to hear about quitting the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, and its affiliated organizations. I wasn't well educated and didn't know a lot about things. Hence, I never tried to start a conversation about other topics. I always cut to the chase by saying, "Fallen DAFA is good. Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good. Quitting the CCP and its affiliated organizations can keep you safe." Most people could accept it. I helped a dozen people quit the party every day. Giving up human notions. One day, I talked to a vendor about quitting the CCP. He refused to listen and told me, "I am a member and will not quit. You keep talking and I'll report you to the police." I left at first, but I really wanted to save him, so I went back. I said to him, "I have to let you quit the CCP today so that you can stay safe. How much do your bed sheets cost? I will buy them." His attitude changed, and after I clarified the facts, both he and his wife quit the party. When I got home, my husband complained that I had bought things we didn't need again. I smiled and said that I had to do what I could to save people. A relative of mine was a CCP official and never wanted to listen to the truth. His wife was a Christian. When I clarified the truth to him, I didn't bother to also explain the facts to his wife, thinking that she already had a spiritual belief. One day, his wife couldn't stand it anymore. She came to me and said, "How come you never tell me anything about Fallen DAFA? I wanted to practice it for a long time, but you never talked to me about it, and I was too embarrassed to ask you. What do you have against me?" I felt so ashamed. I had forgotten that I shouldn't discriminate when it came to clarifying the truth. I had almost excluded a person from becoming a practitioner because of my notions. Having righteous thoughts saves the day. One day, I went to visit a relative and saw a place where many information flyers and posters were displayed. The local practitioners had posted them. As I read them, a young man came to me and said, "I just called the police and told them that you posted these flyers. I lost a lot of money last night gambling. Why don't you give me 30,000 yuan now and I will call it off? The police will be here in a minute. Perhaps 3,000 yuan would do." I was shocked but calmed down quickly. I told him that I didn't have any money and hadn't posted those flyers. I warned him to remember that Fallen DAFA is good and to never report any practitioner again. He regretted having done so and told me to run quickly, but a police car arrived and they took me to a police station. As soon as I entered the yard of the police station, I repeatedly shouted, "Falandafa is good." A policeman came out and told me to stop because it hurt his head. The captain interrogated me, so I clarified the truth about Falandafa to him. He did not get anything out of me after 6 hours of interrogation. He then called his superiors to report the arrest and claimed that he didn't have enough evidence to sustain the arrest. He wanted to take me back to my relative's home in a police vehicle, but I refused because I didn't want to be treated as a suspect. I had him dispatch an ordinary car to drop me off at a market from where I knew how to get back to my relative's house. After they dropped me off at the market, I forgot how to get back. I asked for directions and a young man offered to take me there. I knew Master had arranged this. A practitioner's son, who was a policeman, heard my story and said, "How did you get out? The policy is never to release Falandafa practitioners." The practitioner said, "She got out with righteous thoughts." He asked what the righteous thoughts were. The practitioner told him, "It's to tell people that Falandafa is good wherever you go, openly and nobly." One time, I brought a knife to cut off banners that slandered Falandafa. When I got to the fifth banner, I realized that I was being followed. I was a bit scared, but I told myself that I did not have to be afraid of anything. I got on a tricycle and quickly got into a small lane where the police car couldn't get in. Once we were destitute and lived with my sister-in-law for a while. One day she fainted and we rushed her to a hospital. I asked Master to help. My sister-in-law is a good person. She provides shelter for us and takes care of us. Afterward, she regained consciousness and started vomiting. When we got to the hospital, she was okay, so we took her home. I knew that Master saved her because she was kind and helped a practitioner in need. She's remained healthy ever since. Sometimes the wind blew strongly and heavy sand was in the air. It was hard for me to post flyers and hang banners outside in that setting. It was also very hard on my eyes. They could barely stay open. I said to Master in my heart that I still had a lot of materials with me and couldn't finish the distribution this way. Each time I had this thought, the wind stopped. Eventually, even the local practitioner said to me, "We were wondering why the wind suddenly stopped. We stopped by your house and saw that you were out posting materials. No wonder the wind stopped." Each time this happened, I came home and thanked Master with tears in my eyes. I often sang the song that I made up when I went out to clarify the truth. Falandafa is good, is truly good. Everyone learns about truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. The Fa of the universe is truly wonderful. Sometimes I could not hold back my tears, nor could other practitioners. The energy was so strong that it shook my body. I knew that the beings in every dimension felt Master's immense grace. I have lived in this city for 2 years. I have found local practitioners and become part of the one body. I thank Master for saving me and giving me such a mission during the Fa rectification. I will continue to progress diligently in the last period of Fa rectification and save more sentient beings.
Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.